Well, let's look at our sermon text then. We're continuing to work our way through the Ten Commandments. This morning we've got the fourth commandment. We're going to go ahead as we've sort of been doing this, and we just codified it last week by saying we're going to keep doing it. And that's going to go ahead and read all that we've gone through so far. Hopefully as we work through this, you'll see the connections between these commandments, how they work together. But let's read Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 11. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands, and as I pointed out, thousands of generations, of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And here's our text specifically for this morning. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is the word of the Lord. When Danielle and I were in seminary, we had some friends across the... We had the sort of horseshoe, and we could look almost literally, quite literally, look into their apartment, wave at them in the mornings, drink coffee, things like that. But they liked to swing dance. Now, I've never understood my inability to dance. I'm not an Olympian. I'm reasonably athletic. I have a fair amount of rhythm. In my body, those two things do not connect when music is playing. Daniel will fully attest that I may be the worst dancer ever. I'm looking for her to nod. I don't know where she went, but anyway, it's true. So one evening while we were there, they decided, hey, come swing dancing with us. And I'm thinking this is a bad idea. But they talked us into it, and we were there. And they were doing everything they could to get me into the rhythm of swing dancing. I couldn't do it. For some reason, the ways that you know, there's the steps and the stops, and I could not do the math. I felt like I had two left feet, but both of them were wearing flippers. I mean, I could not dance. I could not get into the rhythm of the swing dancing thing. Now, I say that because we have a funny, this is a funny transition, but I say that because we have a funny relationship with the fourth commandment. You see the connection already? Right. You know, most of the other commandments, as we work our way through, they get embedded in our ethical practice, at least as sort of a goal or a set of targets, right? Like, we understand, you know, more. I mean, we understand why it's wrong to lie or to steal or to sleep around or things like that. Like, we read those commandments and we go, right, don't do those things. But then there's this fourth commandment thing. Like, what is that all about? What is it with this whole stop working thing? I mean, we have such a weird relationship with it. There are people that don't think about it just because they don't think about it. There are people that dismiss it as not relevant anymore, and some for, I think, sketchy theological reasons. We can talk about that at another time. In fact, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that we're not going to cover everything there is to cover about the fourth commandment. I could say something like that at the beginning of every sermon. I'm not going to say everything there is to say about the topic. But I want to acknowledge that here. I've done a lot of thinking about the fourth commandment, and our esteemed resident scholar I know has thought a lot about the fourth commandment. So things I don't talk about this morning, I'm on purpose setting up other conversations. How about that? But I do want us to look at, in some ways, what I think is sort of the heart of the fourth commandment. Because I think that the fourth commandment is calling us into a certain kind of rhythm to our life. If we look at both of the places in the Old Testament where the Ten Commandments are explicitly expressed, they're expressed in other places, but explicitly lined out in Exodus 20 here, and then they're repeated again in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And in both of those places, we see, if we put them together, what we find is that the fourth commandment is a call from God to set aside one day each week to celebrate creation and redemption, Right? In Exodus, there's a focus on creation. In Deuteronomy, there's a focus on redemption. So to celebrate creation and redemption, but it's also a call to set aside our usual stuff, our typical daily tasks, the things that we put our hand to throughout the rest of the week, to stop those things and actually rest. The word Sabbath etymology is a little bit fuzzy, but it means something like to stop. But notice in Exodus 20 that we're called to stop after the fashion that Yahweh stopped. Right? God was not tired. He didn't go, finally Sunday. Or in that case, finally Saturday or whatever. It wasn't that he was just like worn out and finally needed a break. But he did all this creating, this building, this doing stuff, and then he stopped. And I believe that the fourth commandment is summoning us to a life that looks like what God's life looked like. Maybe kind of a weird way to say that. But we see that the Lord God is creating a pattern for us. He's creating a rhythm to the way the world works. And as those who are called to be the image bearers of the Lord of creation, those that are in covenantal union with Him, He's calling us into this kind of a pattern, this kind of a rhythm, because we're those that identify with Him. Remember at the beginning, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. We're called to identify with the Lord God, that our lives would look like His look, because isn't that a big part of our function? God puts image bearers into the world to spread His glory, to spread His image in all the places where there are places. And part of that is His people taking on His rhythm. But if we were to look at the way we live our lives, we would often find that we are woefully out of time with this dance that the Lord is setting up for us. We either work ourselves to the bone and we end up frazzled and disoriented and exhausted and disconnected. Anybody ever felt like that? Right? Or, amen, right. Yes. We do that. We like work ourselves to the bone because we're just in this crazy rhythm. Or sometimes we just evolve into idleness and just laziness. And both of those things are completely out of time with this music that the Lord is playing, that's worked into all creation. And I would say, if you look around, even apart from us as His creation, look around the rest of the world. You see this pattern of growing and resting, working and resting, starting and stopping. There's a rhythm built into the fabric of all of life. See, sometimes we get so out of step. Sometimes we make it even worse because sometimes we expend our energies in our recreations with great vigor, almost like they're vocations. And then we look at our vocations and we sort of roll our eyes and we sigh our way through these awful vocations that we have to deal with, and we treat them like they're just a meaningless diversion. See how backwards we tend to get? It's almost as though the Lord is playing like this elegant waltz in all of creation. And there we are trying to do the centipede in the middle of it. Those of you that don't know breakdancing, this is your chance to think back to your first pair of parachute pants, right? There we are, like doing this whole different dance, and it doesn't even seem right, and it's uncomfortable to watch and to be a part of. We tend to be out of step with the Lord's rhythm. And what I want to do this morning is explore, as we try to see the gospel in this often, I think, neglected commandment, like why are we so out of step with the Lord's rhythm? What is it in us? See, the overriding thing I want us to work through is this. The fourth commandment is calling us to a particular kind of resting or stopping. And as I said, we're not going to work through every question, so meet me for coffee or Max for tea. Or I think Max drinks coffee too, right? So you want to talk about like some of the details? I would love to talk about those things. But I want us to look this morning at what we're being called to rest from. First of all, let's be fun with prepositions. What we're called to rest from, but then also, what are we called to rest in? So let's give that a shot this morning. First thing I want us to see then is what we are to rest from. Now, I've already said that the Lord sets up a pattern for us that mimics His pattern, right? The Lord works as His great designer and creator, and He stops. And actually, notice He stops each day. There's a rhythm every day. And then He gets to the big last one, and He stops. Work. then stop and celebrate by resting. It's a pattern of creating and tending and keeping, just like the mandate in Genesis 1, followed by a rest of delight. But notice also that when sin entered into the world through Adam, and then we continue to perpetuate Adam's sin, you notice that our relationship to work and rest become like really goofy. You see, instead of being partners in this great dance, this great rhythm with the Lord our God, man's relationship, our relationship to the rest of creation, instead of being like a dance and a rhythm, it becomes like a battle. Work became toil. Stewardship devolved into competition. Rest, at that point, feels like a liability. Like if you're worried about, like if you're doing all this work and all of a sudden thorns and thistles and I'm fighting with creation, all of a sudden rest isn't a delight. It feels like a liability. See, these thorns and thistles are no longer proper food for Eeyores, but rather they're a threat to all of our attempts at creating and tending. Stopping means to leave oneself vulnerable and open, right? If you're working in all, if you're Adam and you're working in the ground and you realize that things are a mess and you're fighting around with creation, now if I stop and I rest, what's going to happen? Those thorns are going to, my fear is, those thorns are going to grow. And it's going to be the sweat of my brow, constant fighting, constant tending, constant keeping. And I think that sense of openness and vulnerability, if I stop what I'm doing, what's going to happen? I think that kind of fear is in us. Whether it's our jobs or the myriad other things we put our hands to throughout the week, we keep working and moving and striving because of the fear of what would happen if I stopped. But all of our restlessness, and I think many of you can attest to this, all of that kind of restlessness is killing us. Our unwillingness to cooperate with the music of the Lord is creating these self-destructive patterns in us. It's like an engine that's misfiring. Now, I'm not a mechanic. Bill can confirm if I'm right here, but the way spark plugs work, you know, the spark plug is supposed to fire, so the cylinder moves, and they're supposed to fire in a certain pattern and in a certain rhythm. And when they do that, things go smoothly with your engine. Now, Danielle and I have had too many old vehicles in our almost 20 years of marriage, and one of them was this amazing green truck that I loved, and she hated. And she was probably right, because it was like this 61 Ford. It's called a unibody. It's just like all one big hunk of metal. It was an ugly, gloriously ugly truck. I loved it. But it needed a lot of work. And at one point, one of the spark plugs would not fire. Now, you've got six cylinders, and if one of them is refusing to fire, you've got problems. Like if it started that morning, it would just like rattle and shake. And if you tried to drive it anyway, because you had to get to school no matter how much oil you dumped into the engine, like you had to get to class anyhow. It's like kind of the whole way, it's like sort of like chugging, and it's losing power, and it's sucking gas, and all of those things are happening because the engine is completely out of rhythm. When we live our lives out of the Lord's rhythm of this work, diligent work too, hard work, followed by restful delight, we're like misfiring engines, shaking and rattling, starved of vitality. And I see it all around us. I see it in me. I see it in people who've taken the name of Christian, but just struggle to get to worship because they're too busy with working. I mean, it pains me when this is at the fear of sounding, I don't mean this as scolding, so hear this all the way out, and hopefully you know me well enough. I'm not a finger wagger. But it pains me when I hear it's like students say, I can't be there Sunday. I have an exam on Monday. It pains me not because of my hopes for like attendance. I mean, like I'd love to see Heinies and all chairs here. That'd be great. But it's not about, I mean, it doesn't pain me because of my hopes for attendance. It pains me because I know that that's a symptom of a pattern of life that is destructive. It's a symptom of a pattern of life that's going to kill those same students and workers. Because they're living their lives in such an out-of-step rhythm. It takes its toll on our bodies. And if you haven't heard me say it before, our bodies matter to the Lord. The stuff of creation is something that God cares about. when we're killing our bodies, it's a symptom of our heart's problems. This lack of being in step with the rhythm of the Lord, it's destructive to our bodies. But it also takes its toll on our relationships, and it takes its toll on our ability to even hear the music that the Lord is playing. Like showing up to worship, it's not about getting here and checking a box. I don't keep a file. Like when I see you for after a while, I don't go, finally they're back. I can put that down and I'll send that off to the Lord, get their grades. It's not like that. It's really not. Being in worship matters not because of your record. Being in worship matters because we're being trained and shaped to hear the music the Lord is playing, to see His goodness. That's why showing up matters. And it matters so that you'll do it, and it matters so that people around you are able to see and hear what the Lord is doing. It pains me because it's destructive in those ways, these patterns are, but it also pains me because it's driven by, and here's the heart of this, it's driven by a lack of trust that the Lord God will provide for you. The reason why we struggle to stop is because we don't believe that the Lord is going to provide for us if we do what He says. Our struggle with the fourth commandment is a struggle of trust. That's the problem of the fourth commandment. But that also reveals a part of the gospel in this commandment. This commandment tells us, it says, stop the crazy rhythms and to see the way that the Lord actually is supplying all of your needs. That's part of what stopping does. You see, he's going to take care of His people. You know why? Because He's trustworthy. He doesn't say, go do this and not provide for you. He'll do it because He loves. I mean, think about the things that consume you. What are the things, as you look back over the course of your week, what are the things that you're compelled by? Is it your job? Is it your schoolwork? Is it some conversation in your Facebook account? Is it your fitness regimen, your news feed, your garden, your Netflix watch list? Is there a watch list? I'm sure there's a way to set that up. Your plans for Netflix? Like, what are the things? What are the things that are demonstrating in you this self-destructive pattern? Those places where you're sent. I mean, and what are the ways that you're demonstrating like this struggle for survival that's rooted in those really silly things? What would happen if you began to set them aside for a day and focused instead on celebrating creation and redemption? I mean, think about it here for a minute. What would happen if you stopped and rested? The sky would still be above you, and the Lord would still be providing. If you shut the computer lid for a day and said, I can't be in that today. I mean, whatever the thing is that you find yourself so compelled by, so driven by the rest of the week, imagine what would happen if you said no to that for a day and actually stopped and actually celebrated what God is doing. You know what would happen? You'd begin to hear the music the Lord is playing, the ways that He calls you to do more than just drive yourself. You'd hear Him you'd hear Him speaking to you things that say, like, I'm going to take care of you. I know you have work to do. But I know things about you that are deeper than that. It's not a disregard of your work. I mean, I'll say this again. The Lord calls us, work hard. Be diligent. I mean, part of the fundamental mandate for people is to work and create and to keep the garden and attend to it. And then a stop in a trusting celebration of what God is doing. But the heart of it is whether or not we'll trust Him. If I stop, will He take care of me? You see, what I'm saying so far is this, is that what this commandment calls us to do is to rest from these self-destructive patterns. But I'm also admitting to you, with all that said, there is that gap, right? We've sort of transitioned into that now. There is this gap. If I stop, like the commandment says to, then what? If Adam stopped fighting thorns and thistles for a day, what actually would happen? If we build a pattern of setting aside our usual stuff and resting, what will it mean for us? And for some of you, that can feel like a really scary question. And I get it. I totally get it. I get it because you guys know this, so I'm going to be Captain Obvious for a minute. You know Sunday comes every week? I mean, every week after Saturday, Sunday, like it's there. Like I feel the pressure of making sure that I've done my work. Because Danielle and I have talked about, like, you know, if you make widgets, you can stop making widgets, and there's sort of an effect of it, you know, on the way that the factory works and all that. If I stop for a day, I just want so you know that I can identify here. If I stop for a day, that's a day less to prepare a sermon. Sunday does not move. I understand. I understand your work. I truly do. I haven't always been a minister. I've worked in the real world, a regular job. Well, you know, when I didn't just work on Sundays. I've had that kind of... And I understand the pressures of work. In fact, I mean, I've shared this with some of you. When I was in seminary, I could have studied 24/7 and not studied enough. I mean, every day for me involves some combination of classes and my job. But every day also invariably involved studying. Because professors say, here are the 4 gazillion books to read. Go. And then 4 other professors did the same thing. Like those of you that are in school now or that have been in school, you get this. But the other thing that kept happening when I was in seminary is I kept having opportunities to write papers. So like for the first 2 years of my seminary studies, I kept dealing with the fourth commandment because I wanted to figure out, like, what in the world am I supposed to do with this? And the call of the fourth commandment kept pressing in on me. But here's the challenge for me. This was the challenge for me. Grades mattered to me. Grades mattered to me because I want to be faithful to my work as a student. I mean, those of you that are students now, that's your vocation. You have a responsibility to be faithful to your work. So I wanted to be faithful, but grades also mattered to me because I wanted a church to hire me when I got done. I wanted to prove to church that this guy can actually do something, you know. Grades matter to me because I have a problem with the first commandment. Grades matter to me because a chunk of my identity was, and sometimes still can be, built around how people perceive me intellectually. Grades matter to me. And to feel the press of the fourth commandment that said, work really hard, and then one day, each week, stop and rest and celebrate what the Lord has done. That created some measure of fear in me. If I stop, what will happen to my grades when I can't study enough now? But one day, we decided, Danielle and I, and the Lord, decided it was time to get into his rhythm more. And I'm not saying that we did this perfectly or that we still do. We still wrestle with what to do with this. But I stopped studying on Sundays. I mean, it used to be we'd go to church because that's a non-negotiable in our house, always has been. Get home from church after lunch, going to do some more reading. But finally decided, you know what? We're going to go to worship. We're going to be involved in the life of our community, our church community. I'm going to go home and not pick up a book. And you know what? I didn't score all the grades. I could have scored better on some grades. I could have. And there are times that was pretty hard. Because grades mattered for all those reasons. But you know what else? God provided. You guys hired me. And if you want to know who was on that committee, there's a directory there I can tell. You can call them, send your letters. But I mean, But look what the Lord has done. And you know what? I could have scored better on many assignments. But you know what I learned when we would stop, when I would put aside the rest of my work and really focus on intentional worship and rest? You know what I learned? I learned that summa cum laude is really not as big a name as baptized. Sanctified, as loved by God. That's what I learned. But you see, so much of our struggle with this idea of resting and Sabbath is a struggle to believe that God's trustworthy enough to take care of us if we don't hold things together, right? I've got to keep it all together. But Jesus is the Lord's picture of what ends he's willing to go through to provide for us, even if we can't keep it together. And that's a hard lesson for us because sometimes, you know what, sometimes we don't get what we want. I would have loved to have had better grades on some things. I would have liked a better sticker on my diploma. I would have loved that. But the truth is this. Sometimes we don't get what we want. In fact, sometimes we get what we certainly do not want. Because sometimes the hand of God holds things like difficulty and suffering. But Jesus also shows us that God has invested the very life of his own son for his people. Jesus is the signal to us that God's plans are always good and right. Whatever God ordains, it's right. And when that's hard for us to believe, we've got this picture of God's only son crucified for you and for me. Jesus is a signal that God's plans are good and right, even if we're completely ignorant of what he's up to. Some of you are going through things and you're like, what in the world are you doing? And it's hard to trust him. And what I would say to you this morning is that if we look to Jesus and see what God has done and the offer of his only son on our behalf, we can see that whatever weirdness is going on that we don't understand, is God trustworthy? I can look to Jesus and see he's trustworthy. I'm going to hang on through the difficulty. I'm going to hang on through the suffering. I'm going to hang on through my fear of resting. And even though I know I've got a stack of things that are waiting for me, I'm going to take this time to do what God says, to hear his music playing, to step into the rhythm of his dance. You see, Jesus is God's signal to us that his plans are good and right. And Jesus is also the fundamental answer to our questions of identity. If our businesses don't do as well as we'd like them to. Hey, if our businesses fail, we are loved by God. And what's a better answer, really? I mean, what's a better identity? Valedictorian, which I was not, or daughter of God? What's a better identity? I mean, what's a better treasure for us? A whopping 401k. Or the promised supply of the God of the cosmos? What makes a better word to us? Non-stop, witty or otherwise, online comments in our Facebook feed? Or the voice of Jesus that says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I can tell you which one sounds better to me. You see, the fourth commandment, as we think about all these things, kind of put them together, the fourth commandment points forward in a, I'm going to wax theological for a minute, in a typological way, to something that sweeps up all these creational realities, the stuff of our work and our lives and our bodies and our desires and our identity. It takes all those things up, but it also unfolds into something more grand. Hebrews chapter 4 points to this when it speaks, it says, Jesus, talking about Jesus himself, Jesus is the better rest that's promised to God's people. Hebrews 4 says that we who have believed, those who are putting their trust in Jesus, we who have believed have entered into the rest of God in Jesus. Granted, it looks forward to this great eschatological Sabbath. Here again, waxing theological for a second. Jesus points us to that, this great eschatological Sabbath when all of our striving is completely done. That day is coming. But even right now, we rest in Jesus. We don't have to strive for our identity. You know why? If you believe in Jesus, your identity is settled. You're united to Christ. We're united to him. The work is over. If you want the heading for the second point for the note takers, if you're trying to figure out what I'm doing, here's the thing. The fourth commandment, it calls us to rest from our self-destructive patterns, but the fourth commandment also calls us to rest in Jesus. whatever our hearts say, whatever fears we have, whatever others say. The Lord says our identity is secure in Christ. He can be trusted. We can rest in Jesus. And we've been talking this morning, I've got a mouse in my pocket. I've been talking this morning about this idea of fourth commandment and Sabbath. And there are lots of details that we could talk about. And I thought about sort of doing a lot of that here, but then it sort of devolves into a theological, lecture. And I didn't want to do that. I really wanted to get the heart. I want to get the heart of the fourth commandment. And then let's work out some of the implications in conversations over coffee and gelato and tea and those kinds of things. But I've been talking a lot about rhythm this morning. I think I've told you before that I have this ongoing burr in my saddle about, like, you go to a concert and people start clapping along, except it's terrible. And you're like, okay, just stop clapping because you're out of beat. So I will confess, lest you worry, I got an okay to say this from my house, but in my house, there happens to be a person whose rhythm, it's different from others' rhythm. I'll use the pronoun she, which covers a lot of bases, and that way you won't know I'm suggesting that Danielle's ability to clap in rhythm is compromised. So remember one time I was trying to explain to her, like, no, don't clap on 1 and 3, because clap on 2 and 4. And she was having a hard time getting this across. Like, don't clap on like 1 and 2.75, because that's it really gets weird. Anyway, so I was trying to convince her, like, no, don't do that. So then I thought, how can I help her like hear the rhythm? So I finally as you're playing along, as Annie's playing along, you've got like the hi hat. You do it just like not like that. Okay. don't clap on the hi hat. Listen for the whop of the snare, because usually that's on it too, right? Pop, like the rock and roll rhythm. Dun, dun, snap, dun, dun. Anyway, so I was trying to convince her, like, don't clap on the hi-hat. Listen for the snare and clap with that. And that'll help you kind of get sort of settle into the rhythm of the song. And then, if you have to clap along, then that's kind of the way to do it. It'll make things way more comfortable, at least for me, I guess here's what I want to say to you. I'm no Pollyanna about the way the world works. I get it. I mean, I tried to express to you, I get it that we can be busy. And I know some of you are busy. And some that might be listening along are busy. This is the world that we live in. The pressures are incredible. And some of the pressures are our own. But I'm not a Pollyanna about that. And I know there are more questions about the fourth commandment that we've not touched on, like what's the relationship between Sunday and the fourth commandment? What's okay to do and not okay to do? when we start slipping into that sort of, again, the operation, sort of, don't hit the side, see a buzz. I know there's more stuff to talk about that. I also realize that for many of us, taking this commandment seriously is going to take some traumatic overhauling of the way you approach your week. Because to take the fourth commandment seriously, like if you're going to take one day of the week to rest, you've got to think about what you do with the other days, don't you? But what I want to say to you is the fourth commandment is part of the Lord teaching us to clap with the snare, to listen for the beat that he's playing so that we can get into the groove of it with him. I realize that taking this seriously means not only some substantial changes in the way you approach life, but maybe changes related to things like our standard of living or our recreations. I know that's when people get really touchy, like, hey, listen, you can preach, but don't talk about my recreations. Right? So the way that we approach our recreations, like the fourth commandment might call us to say no to some recreations. I get that. And I get that taking this commandment seriously as we start thinking about like work and how that affects income and all those things that might even mean for some of us rethinking our plans for the future. What's most important to me as I look to the future? We're getting into the commandments that are going to get super uncomfortable. And it's not going to get easier. But what I want to say to you is this. I believe as a guy that needs to wrestle more with the fourth commandment, what does it mean to work diligently and to rest with delight? I've got some work to do here myself. But you know what I think? I think it's totally worth the work to work on resting. I think it's worth it because I want to be able to clap in time with Jesus' song. I want to be able to dance with the Lord God and what He's doing in all the world and the way that we fit into His whole created order. So maybe you'll want to talk some more about the details of your life and how you might start making some of those changes. Please, let's not make excuses as though the Lord doesn't understand our lives. I think that we do that sometimes. Like, okay, fourth commandment, but I mean, come on. Don't you know, Lord, my life? He knows your life. And He knows the self-destructive patterns that we sit in. And He knows your need to rest in Jesus instead of in your strivings after your own identities. Let's not make excuses. Let's take this on together. Let's see our lives shaped by Jesus. I mean, I guess the question for us is whether or not we're willing to look at Jesus and trust in God's provision for us. And it's a question that's built on the commandments we've covered so far, right? Who is our God? In what image are we going to find Him, His or ours? Are we willing to take Him seriously? That's the first three commandments we've worked our way through. You see how these kind of fit together? Because now this God that we've been talking about is coming to us and saying, I'd like to rescue you from your self-destructive patterns. I'd like to provide you a rest in Jesus. What are you going to do? Are you willing to take the rest in Jesus? Are you willing to dance to the music that the Lord God is playing? What beat are you going to clap on? Let's pray. Father in heaven, you call us to do some really crazy stuff, or at least that's how it seems. And our thoughts are so driven by our own fears. Lord, I pray, would you help us to see Jesus more and more clearly that we might finally be overwhelmed by how trustworthy you are. Teach us what it means to order our life in such a way that we can work really diligently, work hard, satisfying kind of work. Tend to the things that you've given us to tend to. Keep and to guard, just like the creation mandate calls us to. But then to stop, like you stopped. Celebrate all that you're doing in us and around us. Lord, help us not to make excuses. Lord, teach us not to drift into legalistic rule making, rules that you've never made. But Lord, help us not to use that as an excuse to. Sometimes legalism can be like the trump card to keep us out of obedience. Help us to be people that trust in you and long to step into the dance that you're building in us. So help us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.